tonight. These are our resident missionaries until the 26th of May when they'll be heading for Spain. So we're glad to have them every chance we get. Thankful to see them tonight. We have some guests tonight. Blaine, Francisco, and Curtis. Last name's not clear. Okay, Carter, is it Carter? Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I ought to remember that name from somewhere. Amen. We're glad y'all are here tonight. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Amen. And so welcome to Athens United Pentecostal Church. We're glad to see you. God bless you. Amen. All right. Let's look to the word of the Lord, shall we? I'm going to be reading tonight a couple of verses to start with. One in the book of John, the 8th chapter, the 29th verse, and then in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 5 and 6. And these verses, of course, are familiar to us. We've been to Hebrews 11 quite a lot lately, but I don't think you can visit there too often. That's where you feed your faith. Amen. Anybody's faith ever need feeding? Somebody said, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. That's the way you do it. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. Amen. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Everybody say, he pleased God. That's what we want to talk about tonight, things that please God. Amen. Things that please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Things that please God. Amen. It is not possible to please all men all the time. Because when you please one person, sure as the world, you'll displease another one. If you make one person happy, you're going to make somebody else unhappy. So it is impossible to please all people all the time. It's not possible to please yourself all the time. As a matter of fact, one of the best ways I know to be miserable is to just try to please yourself all the time. You'll be one miserable person. But you know what? It is possible to please God. It is possible to please God. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Things that please God. The Lord bless you. So you give somebody a big smile and then you can be seated. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I've always been fascinated with the biblical account of this man called Enoch. My, what a situation that was. Whenever Enoch was 65 years old, I don't know what happened, but something transpired in his life that caused him to really begin to walk with God. And he did walk with God for more than, or about 300 years. It's a pretty good walk, isn't it? And then the Bible says that he was not, because the Lord took him. The old preacher said that he was walking with God, and God said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are yours. Come on home with me. And the scripture just uses the word translated. He lifted his foot up to take another step. And the next thing he knew, he set it down on the golden street. Hallelujah. He lifted his foot. He was a mortal man. And when he set it down, he was an immortal man. When he lifted his foot, he was a corruptible man. When he set it down, he was an incorruptible man. God just literally translated him. And you know what? That's going to happen to the church one of these days. Hallelujah. There's going to be the sounding of a trumpet. And the Bible said that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Enoch had a testimony, and his testimony was that he pleased God. I tell you what, that's one of the greatest things that you can strive for in your life, is to please God. You might as well give up trying to please people. That's not ever going to happen. Some people would gripe if you were going to hang them with a new rope. They'd find something wrong. Some people just complain about everything. Amen. Some people, they're just not ever happy. You'll never make people happy. That's not a good goal. You'll not please everybody. Amen. But your goal and my goal today should be to please God. Amen. That's what I'm going to strive to do. The scripture, and it only says this of Jesus. Jesus said, I do always. Everybody say always. Notice that word. I do always those things that please Him. Now, I try to please the Lord, but I know one thing. I haven't always done it. Sometimes I mess up royally. I mean, bad. Anybody else ever had that happen? Don't have to raise your hand. Just kind of give me a little look there so I know that you're awake. You know what I'm saying. Amen. All right. So we don't always. But Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. Now there's a goal worth pursuing. You know, the Lord did not give us in Scripture a minimum standard of pleasing Him. Because if the Lord had given us a minimum standard to please Him, you know what our goal would be? The minimum standard. So God didn't give us a minimum standard. He gave us a high standard, didn't He? He said, here's your goal and here's my goal. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So there's a goal worth shooting for. There's one that doesn't leave you time to get smug and satisfied and self-righteous. Because that's one we'll reach for all of our life. Amen. That's the one that we strive for tonight, is to please Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's talk about the things that please God. First of all, we learned this here in Hebrews 11:5, that faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. First of all, it pleases God that you believe He is. When you believe there's a God, that pleases Him. And then when you believe that He will reward you, that pleases Him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. When you believe that God will keep His word, that God will fulfill His promise, that pleases God. You know what? That pleases me. How many of you like for people to believe your word? Kind of upsets your apple cart whenever they don't, doesn't it? You call me a liar? You know, that's kind of what you feel like saying. It bothers you when people do not believe your word. When people question your word. When people question whether you're telling the truth or not. I think it bothers God the same way. Hey, does it bother you when somebody twists your words? Does it bother you when somebody takes what you said and changes it? to make it to something you didn't say. We need to be careful with the Word of God. I said we need to be careful with the Word of God and whether we twist it or not. Because if we change it, He's not going to be happy about that. God is not happy when people change His Word. He likes for His Word to be, and He said it, forever settled. And He said, it shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But He said, my Word shall not pass away. It's going to stand for all eternity. So God, it pleases Him when we have faith. Amen. It pleases God when we respect Him. Psalm 147 verse 11 said, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. There's two things this verse tells me tonight. First of all, that we should fear the Lord. I see bumper stickers sometime on people's cars that says, fear this. Amen. But let me tell you what you can genuinely be fearful of. And that is to fall into the hands of a consuming God. Amen. God's not playing around. He's not a cosmic sugar daddy somewhere that you can twist and wink at and flirt with and manipulate. Amen. He's a God that is a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of purity. And He's given us in His Word what He expects of us. And the Bible said He does not wink at our ignorance. Amen. I know that the word fear here perhaps would be well translated as respect, but I'll tell you what, I respected my dad, but I also feared a little bit. Because I knew what he could do. I'd had the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge on various occasions, and I found it to be a painful experience. And it was lasting for me. I was very a quick learner. It didn't take me long to get the lesson. By the time the pain went away, it had been well set. Amen. Yes, we need to fear God. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Don't look at God as the man upstairs and somebody that can be manipulated. And yes, He's all of the things. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's kind. He's merciful. But in all of that, He's just. He's just. He's just. Amen. Justice and God's justice demands that He cannot let folks just get away with things as if they never happened. Amen. And then He said, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that hope in His mercy. People that have confidence in God's mercy. People that rest in God's mercy. Thank God for mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy tonight? We ought to thank Him for His mercy. We ought to praise Him for His mercy. Amen. The Bible said it's the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful for God's mercy tonight. And it pleases God to have mercy on people. Sometimes, you know, we'd like to see God send a little more judgment if it's not us. As long as it's somebody that did us wrong, we'd like to see a little judgment happen in their life. But if it's us that needs it, we don't want the judgment, we want the mercy. Amen. David went through that experience, didn't he? Remember whenever Nathan the prophet came in and told him the story about the cruel man that took the one lamb the fellow had and served it to his guest that came in the night, and that was the only lamb that he had, and David being a shepherd, boy, he got mad and jumped off the throne, and he was ready to rain judgment down on that man. And Nathan pointed his long bony finger at David and said, "Thou art the man." Didn't take David long to start asking for mercy. When he realized what he had done and the severity of his sin and the judgment of God, David became repentant, asking for mercy, and God was merciful to David. So it pleases God to have mercy, and it pleases God when we have mercy. The Bible said that remember the Lord's Prayer, that part that says, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us." Amen. That's important that we understand that as we dispense mercy, God dispenses mercy. Amen. And as we withhold mercy, God withholds mercy. We can actually shut the door of mercy by holding unforgiveness in our heart. Wow, that's a sobering thought. Amen. But mercy pleases God. And then Ezra chapter 10 verse 11. "Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do His pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." Now, let me give you a little background. Israel had been in captivity, and now that they had come out of captivity, they had brought back many of the strange things that they had found in the foreign land, and they had brought it back with them. They had brought back strange wives with them, people from other that served other gods, people that were involved in idolatry, and all of those things, and they brought that back to Israel when they came back. And so the Lord is speaking, and He's letting them know, first of all, that they need to confess their wrongdoing and their sin. Now, let me clarify what we mean by confession. Confession does not involve another human being. You don't have to go to a man to confess your sin. You go to God to confess your sin. Now, the Bible does say, confess your sins one to another. And that's what that means. But you got to be careful who you tell. You got to be very careful who you tell. You'll wind up like the three pastors that were out on a fishing expedition. And they were talking as pastors do. And they got to confessing to one another. And one of them confessed. He said, I have a real problem I struggle with. He said, I struggle with pride. He said, I do. I know I struggle with that. And the other pastor said, well, I struggle a little bit with hyperbole. He said, I always stretch the truth a little bit. And he says, well, sometimes I just lie. And he said, I've cried oceans of tears over that. But he said, that's my problem. And the third pastor said, well, my problem is gossip. And I can't wait to get off of this boat and tell everybody what I just heard. So you got to be careful who you confess to. Amen. But sometimes it's good just to talk to somebody. Amen. But confession is made to the Lord. The Bible said if we confess our sin, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I believe that tonight. And confession of sin pleases God and frees Him to be able to forgive us our sins. And then the Bible talks about separation. We don't hear much about that message anymore. But the Bible says, come you out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Do you know what holiness is? It simply means separation. You set yourself apart unto Jesus Christ. And you do those things that please Him. Do you know what the word unholy means? It means common. It means being just like everybody else. Holiness is being different, set apart unto the Lord. And if we are set apart unto God, we will be different in this world, will we not? We'll think differently. We'll act differently. We'll speak differently. We'll dress differently. We'll do those things that please the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So separation is still a message that pleases God. Separating yourself unto the Lord and doing the right thing still pleases God. And it's still a necessary part of the message. Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. Now, of course, verse 31 has reference to the Old Testament system of sacrifices. They brought animal sacrifices to the tabernacle and later to the temple, and they offered them to God for their sins and offered them to God as a sacrifice of worship. And he said, but better than that, he said, praise pleases the Lord. He said, singing praises the Lord. Amen. He said, thanksgiving pleases the Lord. Amen. Praise God. There are some things better than giving a big offering. You know, people can do certain things and you know, you can, sometimes you can give something. And you know I'm not against giving. You know that we're not preaching against that tonight. But I'm just saying that giving with the wrong motive, just to get glory from a human being, the Bible said you've already got your reward. You wanted the praise of people, you got the praise of people. You got your reward. He said, but when you give your gift, he said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Best way to do that is just keep two hands full. Well, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen. And I wish y'all smile a little more. You're making me nervous up here. As if I'm saying something strange. Amen. But these things please God. Praise pleases the Lord. Singing pleases the Lord. Thanksgiving pleases the Lord. Well, Brother Grissom, what if I don't sing well? Amen. Well, sing solo. So low that nobody can hear you. But sing nonetheless. Amen. No, I think singing has to do with your desire to bless God and praise God. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said singing, some people sing it's a treat, other people sing it's a treatment. That might be, but singing pleases God. Amen. And it's okay to sing unto the Lord. And we ought to do that. We ought to do that often. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 4 and 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So then why does creation exist? To please God. Why were you created? To please God. Sun, moon, stars, grass and trees and animal life and everything that's created. What's its purpose? To please God. And He shares some of that with us. Amen. Don't you think it's God's creation is beautiful? Isn't it amazing? Have you ever seen something so beautiful you just had to stop for a moment and just try to take it in? I've done that. A few times I've literally pulled my car over to the side of the road because something, some sight that God created was so marvelous that I just had to stop. Then sometimes I see a sunset that is so beautiful, I just don't want to do anything until it's over. It is so marvelous to watch the splendor of the color and the beauty of what God made. Amen. You ever working out somewhere and all of a sudden one of those beautiful little birds fly by and you go, wow. I hadn't had this privilege too much, but sometimes I've been in places where I could go to a big aquarium and look at some of those fish in there. Have you ever seen those fish? They're all kinds of colors. Unbelievable colors. And unless it's in an aquarium, nobody's going to see it. But God, I was looking on the news today on my computer, and there was a picture of a toad scientists had never seen it before, trying to get a name for it. It was not exactly beautiful to me, but it was different, I'll say that. I think God finds beauty in things that's hard for us to find beauty in, such as an iguana. I think God made iguanas so that everybody could be thankful that you're not an iguana. And so God makes all things, and it pleases Him. That little ugly, warty-looking toad, it pleases God. He likes that. Amen. He made it for Him. Amen. He made it for a purpose. So the Bible said that creation pleases God. Amen. And then I have always loved this verse, Psalm 149 and verse 4. It said, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people." Isn't that beautiful? It humbles me and amazes me to think that people, that you and I, can bring pleasure to God. Now, I understand that verse because the greatest pleasure I have in life generally is being with people that I love. Isn't that right? Don't you like to be with people you love? Doesn't that bring you pleasure? And God's the same way. Have you ever thought what God must hear and what God must see through the course of a day? Have you ever thought of how much cursing and how much blasphemy must God listen to in a day? Have you ever thought how much sin and injustice and corruption God must see in a day? No wonder the Scripture said that God finds pleasure in His people. Instead of cursing whenever He hears praise, don't you think that must be special to the Lord? In a world of so much corruption and so much sin and so much violence and all of those things, to see a people that are holy and striving to please God and separating themselves from the things of sin in this old world, don't you think that must please God? Amen. Hallelujah. I think that's what's special about services like this. Right in the middle of a week when you're tired and you've been working hard, but you say, "I'm going to the house of the Lord," and you come and we sing and we praise and we preach, amen, and we fellowship the presence of God. No wonder He finds pleasure in His people. Amen. My, what a verse. Now listen to the second part. He will beautify the meek with salvation. There's hope for everybody, folks. What Maybelline can't do, salvation can. It can make you beautiful. Amen. Praise God. It's for everybody. Amen. I believe that's the truth. Saved people are the most beautiful people on the face of the planet. There are people who have perfect faces and perfect figures, but ugly spirits. Ugly souls. Amen. There are people that may be comely on the outside, but so very beautiful because they have been beautified by salvation. Amen. Thank God. He takes pleasure in that. He takes pleasure in that. Amen. And then, this is a rather strange verse. Isaiah 53 and 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Talking about Jesus Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Now what in the world does that mean? Why would it please God to bruise himself? Well, because God set the price for redemption. God said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. When God set the price to save humanity, He didn't make it a bargain, a basement price. As a matter of fact, He set the price so high that no human being could pay it. He set it so high that Satan or none of the demons could pay it. He set the price so high that even the angels couldn't pay it. He set the price so high that only in fullness of time God could pay it. Amen. He said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. God was a spirit, but the Bible said He was manifest in flesh. He took on a human form just like yours and mine that had blood in it so that He could make that sacrifice and bruise that body and sacrifice that human form and that human life. And what was His pleasure? His pleasure wasn't the suffering. His pleasure wasn't the pain. But listen to what it says. He said, when He shall make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. So what was He saying? He said, after He has made the sacrifice and shed the blood and died on Calvary, what's the purpose of that? So that His seed will prosper. Jesus said it this way. He said, a grain of corn, if it abides alone, if it's not planted and dies. But if it's planted in the heart of the earth and it dies, what does it do? It brings forth much fruit. So Jesus, what was His joy was that He could be the first fruits, the first one to resurrect and the first one to be righteous and the first one to be holy, but He wouldn't be the last one. What He's saying is that by His blood, He purchased a church. And here we are almost 2,000 years later. Woo! Amen. And this church is still producing. Hallelujah. Did you know there's more Christians in the world today than there's ever been any time in history? Don't believe everything you read that the church is in trouble. Church is not in trouble. Amen. Matter of fact, the devil's in the phone booth, the song said, dialing 911. He's looking for all the help he can get. Praise God. Amen. I'm saying the church is greater than it's ever been. It's greater, it's larger, it's more powerful, it's more potent, it's more influential in the world than it's ever been. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so He was pleased that His sacrifice brought salvation to so many. And then I love this verse in Luke 12 and 32 when he said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you." Everybody say, "Give me." To give me the kingdom. God wants to give you His kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Amen. The scripture said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. God wants to give you His righteousness. What does that mean? That just means that you become right before God and right with man. And then God wants to give you, He said, peace. Who doesn't like peace? And God wants to give you a righteousness, peace, and He wants to give you His joy. What was it Peter said? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm almost through. Just hang on just a few more minutes. Amen. Having predestined, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. Something that pleases God is the adoption of children. Amen. Everybody say, "I'm adopted." Yes, you are. Jesus Christ chose you. Heard a story one time about a child that come home feeling kind of sad because they'd been made fun of at school. You know how children can be sometimes. And the little kid came home and he's kind of feeling down. And mom says, "What's wrong, honey?" She said, "Well, they told me at school today and they were making fun of me because I'm adopted." And the mom looked at that little girl and she was kind of upset. And she said, "Honey," she said, "let me tell you something." She said, "Their mamas and daddies had them and they're stuck with them." She said, "But I want you to know that we chose you. Out of all of the children in the world, we chose you. We didn't have to stick with you. We chose you by choice." Amen. I'm telling you something today. Jesus chose you. Didn't He say it? He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Amen. Boy, that ought to make you happy tonight. Praise God, that ought to thrill your soul tonight to know that Jesus chose you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it pleases God to choose us. And it pleases God to make known to us His will. Some people think the will of God is some kind of deep, dark mystery that you just go around all the time, "Oh, I wish I knew the will of God," and you're always perplexed. No, no, no. God, the Bible said He takes pleasure in, this is Ephesians 1 and 9, God takes pleasure in revealing His will. Do you know what I said? I said God takes pleasure in revealing His will. It pleases God to let you know what He wants. God doesn't want you to keep you in the dark your whole life about what He wants out of you. How would He get any pleasure out of that? Amen. It pleases God whenever He reveals the mystery of His will to you. He wants you to know that. As a matter of fact, a companion verse, Philippians 2 and 13 said, "For it is God which worketh in you." Everybody say, "He's working in me. Both the will and the do of His good pleasure." Let me show you how this works. Now, as a kid, after I was saved, I wanted to be a preacher. But I didn't think I'd ever get to be a preacher. Because who'd ever heard of a preacher called Johnny Grissom anyway? I didn't think I'd ever get to be a preacher. First of all, because everybody I had ever heard that wanted to be a preacher didn't get to be. Let me just put it this way. Everybody that I knew that was a preacher told me that they had run from the will of God. You know, and finally they got sick or something, nearly died or something or other, and then they'd surrender, and then God would call them to preach, and everything was glorious after that. So I thought, well, I want to be, so I'll never get to be. God only calls people that run from Him until they're sick, nearly dead, and then they can fall down and repent, and God calls them to preach, and then everything's happy after that. So kind of a convoluted thinking, but that's kind of the picture I had when I was a kid. I didn't think God let you do what you wanted to. I thought he only let you do things that you didn't want to do. What you didn't want to do is probably what God wanted you to do. That was the way I thought. Isn't that weird? I hadn't gotten much better, unfortunately. But this verse really helped me out. Here it is. It said, "For it is God that worketh in you to will and do." In other words, the want to comes from God. The want to comes from God. When you want to do something for God, where does that come from? That didn't come from the devil, did it? He doesn't want you to do anything in the kingdom of God. It didn't come from your flesh, because your flesh of itself doesn't want to please God. So God puts in you the will or the want to. And then to do, he puts in you the ability. And then in time, he gives you the opportunity. And it all comes together. And it pleases God to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that to me, that's exciting, that God tells me what he wants me to do, enables me to do what he wants me to do, and then lets me do what he wants me to do. Amen. By that time, it's what I want to do. All right. Now let me close tonight with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It said, "Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Amen. There's nobody that endures more hardness than soldiers. Soldiers do not choose an easy life. They choose a tough life. And they know that. They know that. If they don't know that about the first week of boot camp, they're sure of it. Thinking, "I don't know if I'm going to live through this or not." Amen. But by the sixth week, and by the time they graduate, they understand something. That this may be tough, but I made it. And I'm better now than I was when I came. They understand some things. Let me explain to you something about serving God. It's not going to be easy, folks. It's going to be tough. Amen. And Paul wrote to Timothy, and I appreciate what he told him. He said, "You endure hardness like a good soldier. Don't be a wimpy Christian." Amen. God deliver us from wimpy Christians. God deliver us from whiny Christians. Amen. Now you're really looking kind of like, where's it going with this? Amen. Praise God. I appreciate people that endure hardships in life. You know, James said it this way. He said, "The same thing that you go through, people in this world go through." Isn't that right? You go through hardship, well, what's different? They're going through hardship out there. What's the difference? You have Jesus on your side. That's the difference. You're not enduring it by yourself, nor are you enduring it needlessly. At the end of this way, there's a reward. I do believe that. Amen. Endure hardness. Now listen. He said that he may please him. Who is the him? Jesus Christ. That's why we endure in this Christian life, is we want to please him because he called us. Somebody said if he called you to it, he'll take you through it. And he will. You'll make it. You'll make it. Amen. Let's stand together. You know, you develop spiritual muscles in life. Things that when you first started serving God, that you thought were real hard. You go through things like that now and you don't even know what's going on. It's so easy. That's right. Do you remember when you first started reading? Boy, that was hard, wasn't it? You look at those letters on that page and you think, "I can't do this." And then you'd work at it and you'd say, "C spot." All right. see, spot, run. Spot runs fast. Boy, you're getting it now. And that sounds silly, doesn't it? But there was a time that was awfully hard. Now it may be easy. But there was a time you just didn't know if you could do that. When you first started learning your twodums and your fourdums, you know, two times two is four, four times four is eight. When you first started learning all that stuff, you remember how hard that was? Learning all those mathematical tables, you thought, man, I'll never get this. I shall fry my brain, sure as the world. Amen. And some of us are still there. We have this little cheater called calculators today. But there was a time that was real hard for you. Spiritually, it's no different. When you started your spiritual journey, you were going through things, and it seemed so hard. But you've come so far. And what used to look like a mountain, now it's just a molehill. Amen. Now you've become a warrior for Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're having trouble tonight, well, it's the big devil's picking on you now. But if they are, it's because the Lord allows them to, because you have come to that place in maturity that you're taking on some big things. You know, when Paul said in the book of Ephesians, he said, I fought with beast at Ephesus. You know what he was saying? He understood warfare. When a general sees up and knows that he has a strategic point that he's got to hold, because if this hole goes, then they're going to lose it. They're going to lose everything. So he puts all of his strength to guard this particular point, because he knows, I can't lose this or I'll lose the battle. And the devil knew that about Ephesus. So when Paul got to Ephesus and he started battling all these horrible spirits, you know what he said? Instead of saying, why me, Lord? He said, uh-huh. He said, there must be something good coming out of Ephesus, because we're going through a hard time here. We're fighting with the big boys in Ephesus. The devil's put the big guns in Ephesus. He said, so there must be something special about this place. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, if you're battling in a particular area of life, it's because that's where the big guns are. If that goes down, then you're going to win a major victory. As a church tonight, we're kind of struggling right now. Anybody feel that? You know why we're doing that? Because there's a great victory just over this rise. Amen. We're going through a little battle here because he's got some forces surrounded. He said, if I don't stop them right here, the battle's over. And they're going to run right over me. You know what happened in Ephesus? The Bible said that from Ephesus, the gospel was preached to all of Asia Minor from that one city. Paul taught in the heat of a day when everybody else would go home for their siesta time and it was the hottest part of the day. He would teach in a little Bible school and he would send out students from that place, and all of Asia heard the gospel from that one place. That's why Paul understood, hey, there's a victory here in Ephesus. My, what a powerful church. Amen. Praise God. So, hey, the Bible said endure so that we can please Him that called us. This is not about pleasing me. This is not about pleasing yourself or your brothers or your sisters. We're here to please Jesus Christ that called us. Amen. Would you talk to Him a little bit here tonight? Everybody bow your head. Amen. Everybody lift your voice. Lift your hands if you want to. Let's talk to the Lord about it for a little while. Jesus, we're in a battle. There is a foe that is trying to stand in our way. Hallelujah. But we know that's because there's a victory just over this hill. If we'll press on a little harder, If we'll fight a little stronger, if we'll be faithful a little longer, if we'll pray a little harder, amen. If we'll just keep on keeping on, keep on believing, keep on worshiping, keep on praising, amen. Keep on being faithful, hallelujah. Amen. There's a victory just ahead. Amen. Praise God. And I thank you for it tonight. And I praise you for it tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. And he plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. And I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins, and I won the victory. Yes, I did. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to sweet victory beneath that cleansing flood. And I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Hallelujah! Victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. Oh, and I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels and stone. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the songs of victory. Hallelujah, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Because of the victory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Not in myself, but in Jesus Christ. We have the victory tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful tonight. I want to please God. How about you? These are things that please Him. If I can do this, I can please the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord tonight. Thank you for being here. Amen. We'll see you. If not before, we'll see you Sunday morning. Friday night youth service. Okay, youth service. They'll see you.